chapter 11, verse 32. And this is just what I feel in my spirit content to preach. I had many things. I was going to preach on the audacious ask, but didn't feel led to preach on that. I was going to preach on all these different things, but just God's laid this on my heart for tonight. Amen. I've visited these verses, I'm sure, since I've been here. Sometimes, you know, I'm sure Brother Glenn can relate, but you try to remember what you've preached and when you've preached it. And I look back, thank the Lord for our website. Amen. I go up there, I said, really? I said, I thought I preached that. Yeah, I never preached this. I did preach that. And anyhow, we just preach what God gives us. Amen. I'm sure, however how long God has me, if He has me the rest of my life, I'm sure you'll hear a story this maybe more than once. Amen. Maybe a verse more than once, whatever it is. As long as God anoints it, that's fine with me. So I'm sure I've visited these verses before in teaching or preaching over the few years, coming up on 2 years in March. So just John 11 and 32. Tonight I'm going to preach on tiny tears, but a big God. Tiny tears, but a big God. Amen. John 11 and 32. This is what it says. This takes place at the tomb of Lazarus. You know the story. It says this: then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And He said, where hath you laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. And this famous verse of Scripture, it was my favorite Bible verse when I had to quote it as a kid. Amen. Jesus wept. Amen. Anybody ever quoted that before? Anybody ever? I've had them come to me and say, can you quote a Bible verse? I sure can. John 11, 35. Jesus wept. Amen. I like what one writer said. He said, this is the shortest, but one of the deepest verses in the Bible. Amen. One of the shortest, yet one of the deepest verses in the Bible. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we're here again tonight, Lord Jesus. I do appreciate everybody that's here. Everyone that's present, God, everyone that was not able to make it, you know, Father Jesus, we ask you tonight, Lord, to minister right now in the mighty way. Touch every heart. Anoint us, God, with this message in my heart tonight, Lord, that you're touching, you'll move, and you'll strengthen this congregation. Lord, tiny tears, but my, we serve a mighty big God. We ask you to help us tonight in Jesus' name. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All of us have asked the question before, why do bad things happen to good people? Anybody ever asked that before? I've even took that a step further, and I move it a little further. Not only does why does bad things happen to good people, but why in the world does bad things happen to God's people? Amen. There's good people all over the world, but God's people in general. Why do bad things happen? Questions such as, does God care? Often plagues the minds of so many people in the current world that we live in. It could be a mother holding a stillborn baby. It could be a husband that loses his wife in a car accident. Maybe it's the boy's tears as it falls in his daddy's casket. Or a woman when she's abandoned by a husband and the doctor says that you have cancer. Whatever it is, you may ask this all familiar question. Does God care? Amen. It's almost like the disciples in Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. When the storm hits and there they are in that boat and the Savior is asleep. And they say these famous words, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Amen. We wonder about these things all of the time. It could be during a school shooting. It could be a tragedy that is in your family. I mean, it could be something just unexpected, sickness and disease, or even such as these things like the Paris shooting as recently. Many people, you hear the question, why did God allow such things to happen? You know what I'm talking about. Does God care? And why does these things happen? Often we look at this and wonder, but I can say tonight with confidence and with a surety to you tonight, if somebody says, does God care? I know that I can say with utmost confidence, yes, He does. Amen. Our God does care. Our God is touched. Our God does feel what we are going through. I noticed this many times in life when counseling or talking to people that are going through so many things. And I've noticed even as I'm here recently, many things even going on within our own church. Sickness and people not able to come to the house of God. Like all these different things. You see tears as they run down their faces and you say, oh Lord, I know that you care. Lord, I know that you're able to
to move. I know that you can heal all these things. But Lord, I know you can. Can you move for us? Can you help us? I know that you care for us. Now, we should notice before going any further in this message that there was a novel and even shocking idea in the day that Jesus lived in. You have to understand in the time that Jesus lived, and please follow me, that this was during a highly influenced Greek culture. And the Greeks and their mythology and their theology had so many different ideas about the gods and about God and about mythology, all these different things about the divine and the heavenlies, all these different ideas. And they had this word that the Greeks used, and the word was apatheia. And that word there meant this. It meant that God, it means God had a total inability to feel any emotion whatever. By it, the Greeks meant that God could not feel anger, love, pain, disappointment, hope, or any of the other emotions that so totally make up our existence. This was their theology behind this. They said, they said that God had to operate in apatheia. They reasoned like this, that if a person could feel sorrow or joy or gladness or grief, it means that someone else can have an effect upon them. Further, it means that if somebody can have an effect upon them, it means that they are not God. Now, I can look at that and understand this. If God so chose, He could maybe harden Himself to humanity. If God so chose, maybe in His divinity and His power and His omnipotence, only God knows, maybe He could have done away with Adam and Eve and maybe blotted that out somehow in His omnipotence and in His holiness and in His transcendence. But we notice this today, my friend, where the Greeks believed that God had a total inability to feel. We know that God chose to feel what we go through. He was not, nobody had to make Him. It certainly seemed natural. You can look in the Old Testament where it talked about it grieved His heart. It said it vexed His heart that He had to, when He made humanity and they rebelled against Him. You look so many different times as He enters into the affairs of humanity to wipe away their tears, to heal their bodies. And no greater picture than we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in the incarnation coming down. And I mean, subjecting Himself to humanity, putting on that robe of flesh and there, feeling the pain, feeling the heartache, feeling the rejection, all these different things. So the Greeks believed that God couldn't feel. And everybody in this world, everybody that's a Christian would understand that God does feel what we are going through. Now understand this, that the Jews, out of all the people, should have understood this. They should have been able to understand that God could feel. The Jews should have had the right picture from the Old Testament. It reveals God, and God is a love and compassionate. But even the Jews had lost this element as a result of the formal and legalistic religion that had been developing in Israel for centuries. But we notice this, that even the Pharisees kind of had this disconnected view on if God could feel or if He couldn't feel. They knew that God cared, but if you were sick or if you were a sinner, if you were downcast, they would tell you that you're being judged and God doesn't understand what you're going through. They would say, look, you've had this sin to do that, and God's mad at you, and God's frustrated. They act like God could feel. But to them, God was always mad and frustrated and bittered and angry, my friend. Oh, that's just like some Christians I've met before. They act like God can't feel nothing but anger. I'm telling you, they're sucking on lemons all the time, and they're just, I'm telling you right now, look, there's times for that. I understand that. But yes, our God can get angry. Yes, our God can get frustrated. But I'm glad that God not only gets angry and frustrated with sin, but He also has love and compassion and foreknowledge and long-suffering and joy. All these different things, all this goodness is wrapped up in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews had forgotten about God that brought them out of Egypt, that came to them and loved them and brought them out by a mighty hand. Now this is a prayer. I know I've mentioned this before here, either teaching or preaching, but I have proof that God can feel. I remember doing a study years ago about animals and talking about the feelings of God. It was kind of an apologetic study. It was talking about feelings, and we've discovered that animals can feel. All of us have that knowledge and common sense that if you have a dog or a cat, or like my sister, a dog, cat, and a horse, amen, we give her a hard time. She loves animals, praise the Lord. She's a time, and she has a horse, and she loves that. Oh, me, my dad, same way. Those animals, and to an extent, praise the Lord. But we have a little dog at home. I have a little dog. His name is Copper. I've come to realize something. If you hit him, he yelps. Amen. If you do this, guess what? He'll squeal. He'll do all these different things. And guess what? Also, I figure out he likes to get his back scratched or tummy, whatever you want, whatever it is. He can feel emotion. He can tell when you're mad at him. He can tell when you're happy with him. I'm telling you, he's a dog. He can feel. But notice this: it has been proven that animals have the capacity to feel and have emotions, but they are limited in their feelings. The reason that they are limited in their feelings is because they have limited knowledge. So notice this today. Animals can feel. It is a fact that humans can feel on a different level because they have a greater knowledge than that of animals. And all creation is of a higher order. The reason that we feel more than animals is this. An animal may not understand death. An animal may not understand pain. All they know is that they do something good, you give them a treat, and when somebody dies, they're sad, but they get right over. But notice this, that for a human, we understand so much more than animals. When something is lost to us, we realize that it's lost forever. We realize that there's something there, void and there. We can feel more than animals because we have a greater knowledge. So notice this, if animals can feel, and we know that humans can feel on a higher level, how much more can God feel? Think about it. He has more knowledge than all of us put together. He has more understanding than all of us put together. He can see the future, the present, and the past. He sees all of these things today, my friend. God feels, and not only does He feel, but He feels on a greater level than all of us because He is all-knowing. So hear me today. God has a greater capacity than all of us to feel. My friend, when you sometimes we have remorse, or we feel bad about somebody doing this, if you do something yourself. Guess what? You may feel bad about that, or you get a phone call about somebody dying, or we hear some bad news of somebody, even like the news about Brother Carl, that hurts my heart. We hear these things because it's bad news. But think about this. We only know bad news when it comes to us. God sees bad news in every individual, in every life, in every moment, in every hour, in every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, of every century. He sees it all. And all of it, my friend, comes up before heaven. God sees everything. You may know of a death occasionally, but God knows of people dying and going to hell every single moment that we are alive. God, you may see little sickness on a minor scale just inside of your influence, but God sees sickness all over the whole entire world. You hear of death of somebody, a loved one died. It's occasional for us, but for Him it's every single day because our God sees it all, and we know this, that He has a greater capacity. He knows more than us, so I believe they can feel more than us. Amen. That's why the Spirit's always proving us to do more. Because the Spirit knows what needs to be done. He knows. He says, now hear me today. Even when it comes to words, we are limited to our capacity. I can look at you today and say, I love you, and I mean that. But my love only travels as far as my ability to help you and do for you. I can sometimes, all we can say, when you can't do anything else, all you can say to somebody is something like this. You can say, look, I love you. I know I can't do anything to change your situation. I know I can't bring back to death. I know that I cannot heal the sick. All I can do is offer you these words and say, I love you, or I am sorry, or I feel for you. And we can only embody them words to a certain extent. But notice this, when God says He loves you, amen, He means it on a greater scale because He has a greater ability to fulfill the words, amen. He loved you so much He gave His only begotten Son that you did not have to perish. He died for your sins. Guess what? I can say I love you every day of my life, but I couldn't take away your sins. God can embody those words. He can say that He cares for you, and it means more, my friend. That's why today we understand that God loves us. He's not disconnected from us. He's not a distant cousin somewhere. He's not somebody else just sitting on planet heaven somewhere that could care less about us. No, He cares about everybody that is in this room. Now notice this. This is shown to us at the tomb of Lazarus. Now notice this. God sees the tears of God's people. world. It says where Jesus, it says when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then it says in verse 35, Jesus wept. Amen. It says when he noticed their tears, when he looked at them and the tears was running down the face of Martha, it was running down the face of Mary, and that he realized there all the hurt that was in their heart here. It says this, after he noticed their weeping, that Jesus wept. Now notice this, how many knows that tears have a language to them? Let me give you a fine example. If I was to write you a letter, amen, say one of you were in prison. I hope none of you go to prison, but let's make it funny, amen. Say one of you in prison for doing a very bad thing, amen. And all of a sudden, you really, and I write you a letter. I'm just hypothetically here. I write you a letter. And I say, look, I'm sorry. I hate this. I hate you done this. Or I hate that. Let's say I was in prison. Let's reverse the roles. Amen. I'll feel better about that. And I'm writing to you. I say, look, I'm sorry for what I've done. I wish I'd never done it before. And I send you that letter. My friend, you read that letter and you say, look, I feel bad for him. But what if you looked at the bottom of that letter and you seen tear stains all over it? And you realize, look, he's really sorry. He really did feel that when he said those words. I'm telling you, my friend, tears have a language. You look at me, I'm sure there's times that I've looked at my wife with tears in my eyes, or vice versa, she looked at me with tears in her eyes, and I knew that a situation was more precious or more real to her. That's where, cause tears have a language to them. I know there's different types of tears, and we can't go over all of those tonight, maybe another time. There's tears of remorse and repentance. There's tears of injustice when the innocent is done wrong. There's tears of suffering from death, sickness, and depression. There's tears of the believer burning for souls and the lost. There's so many different types of tears. And guess what? I've cried a few. How about you, amen? Has anybody else ever shed a tear before? Am I the only one? I believe God's given all of us tear ducts, amen? If you ain't got none, you might be blessed. Praise the Lord. But tears and crying and weeping is something that's all through the Bible, Old Testament to New Testament. And thank God, we'll talk about Revelations a little later. Amen. But we notice this today, that all of us have tears and all of us have used them at times. Amen. Now notice this, four conclusions I want to draw about our tears, our tiny tears, our little tears, these things that show so much about what we're going through. Number one, the first conclusion tonight is this, is that God notices our tears. Notice this, Jesus wept because he saw Mary's weeping heart. When he seen her weeping, he began to weep. He didn't go there crying. He didn't come to the tomb of Lazarus and say, oh my, Lazarus is dead. Left him there. He's going to be dead forever. Amen. I'm never going to see him again. He didn't go there with the same tears that Mary and Martha had. He went there, Martha. He stood at that tomb. He didn't cry because Lazarus was in the tomb. Guess what? Because when Mary and Martha took Jesus to that tomb, he was crying not because he saw the tomb. He was crying because he saw their hearts. Amen. He wasn't crying because he seen a tomb. He was crying because he seen their hearts. He was weeping because they were weeping. He noticed their tears. Notice this. God not only knows our nature, but he knows our disposition, and he knows our needs. Amen. You can take God all day to your problems. Your problems ain't going to make God weep. Your problems are not going to scare God into anything. He looks at you, and that what means here. That's what dictates his heart towards a situation. Guess what? Nothing comes to the believer unless it goes to the omnipotent hand of God. Unless you sin or do something yourself, God sees your trials. God sees our problems. He sees our temptations. He doesn't cry because of the tomb. He cries because he sympathizes with the hurting hearts. And that's the same here tonight. No, you can take Jesus all day to your tomb or your situation or your battle. God's going to look at that tomb and look at you just like he did Martha. And says, don't you believe he can live again? Don't you know I'm the resurrection? Don't you know that I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Don't you know that I have all ability? That's not what made Jesus sad. What made him sad is when he seen their weeping heart, he seen the hurt of death. And my friend, that's what hurt the heart of Jesus. One writer said maybe he was weeping because he was going to have to bring Lazarus back from paradise. Amen. I don't know why it was. Amen. Because I believe Lazarus did go to paradise in 4 days. He went like the Jehovah's Witness and just laid there and went out like a candle. Amen. Had to go somewhere. Praise God. So I noticed this. The man noticed this. That Jesus notices our tears. And nothing was more apparent than this in the story of Christ weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. For the text tells us that Jesus wept when he saw others weeping. Now notice this. The Bible simply said this. That Jesus wept. That's what John said. Now notice this. The word wept there is the word, and it occurs only here throughout the Bible. Although the noun is found elsewhere, but this is more of an action. He burst into tears. And it's not the same word used in the weeping of Mary and the Jews. Here shows that it is a well of despair. He is crying. He is weeping. He's bursting forth with tears. It's noticeable that he's crying, and others around him are saying, oh, how he loved him. He couldn't do anything. He wanted to. He loved Lazarus, but he's too late. Jesus didn't set his clock right. He's late. Nah, he's right on time. Amen. I like when one preacher preached, he said, God loves you so much, he comes late. Amen. Come on time. It wouldn't have been no resurrection for Lazarus. Less testimony. And they're in the book of John. Amen. Many places in the Bible lets us know that God notices the tears of his people. To Hezekiah in 2 Kings 25, it says this. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day shalt thou go up to the house of the Lord. Notice that. He's up Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah, I've seen your sickness, yes. I've seen your predicament, yes. But guess what? I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Notice what he says in Job. Job says this. He said, he hears the cry of the needy. Likewise, David testified, the Lord has heard my weeping. So notice this today. Just like he saw Mary's tears, he saw Hezekiah's tears, he saw Job's tears, he saw David's tears, he sees you. Your tears. Amen. That didn't quit in the Old Testament. This is New Testament. God sees your tears even tonight. Oh, the famous verse of Scripture, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Morning starts at 12. May still be dark. You can still have joy. Amen. Whenever the morning is, it may be 1, 2, or 3, or 4, whenever it is, joy cometh in the morning. So notice this, he notices our tears, but my friend, guess what? Not only does he notice our tears, but he's touched by our tears. Notice this, Jesus was touched by the tears of Mary's and others, and it's because of that, that's why we've already established that. But he notices he's touched by them. He didn't just see her wipe and give her a handkerchief and say, tighten up, Mary, you know you ought to be crying over there. Won't you wipe your snotty nose on the nose? No, he don't yell and see her tears. Notice them. But thank God that he takes enough time that now he sees them, but it touches him. He realizes that it hurts them. And guess what? It hurts him. And I like that one song that's out now. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Bless the Lord. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. No matter how big the trial, how small it is, God sees our tears. Psalms 34 and 15, it says this, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. There's three verbs in that. He hears, notice that he does not ignore, and his ears are attentive. Amen. He hears, he does not ignore, and his ears are attentive, each of which suggests that God is genuinely touched by our sorrow. Should we fear then to pour forth our hearts to him? I wonder sometimes, why is it that we hold back our tears? Why is it sometimes we hold back our heart from God? Sometimes, my friend, you'll go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you sit there, you got it bottled up inside of you. There's been times I've done it. There's been times that you've done it. But oh, what joy and refreshment when I come to the feet of the Savior and I just lay loose every problem, every need, I cry out for his help, and I begin to weep uncontrollably. You know that face that you just made? Now, nobody makes a pretty crying face, amen. You just lose all pride. You say, Lord, I'm hurting, I'm wounded, I'm discouraged, I'm frustrated, and there your tears, and God takes them as a sacrifice, and he touches you. There's been times I cry. I'm a weeper. I know I am. It don't take much. We were decorating the Christmas tree the other day. I got to crying. I'm pitiful. Amen. You ought to see me on my wedding day. I said, I ain't going to cry. And they're laughing at me now. I cried more at my wedding, my little sister's wedding. I cried more than they did.
And I'll tell you, like I said before, the men's warehouses give you a silk handkerchief. It's pointless. Don't absorb no snot, no tears or nothing. I mean, it just leaves you up there and you're just humble. And all you can do, I'm making a face and they still pick on me today because I cried like a man. I don't know why it is. Maybe, but thank God I can cry. Man, some folks act like they never cry. I can't take much to move my heart towards something that is real and wholesome and true. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, there's no need to try to hold back. God sees your tears. Amen. If it's in your prayer closet, if it's here in the Abundant Life Tabernacle, if it's in the middle of your trial, God can recognize your tears. He can read your tears. He can understand your tears. He can decipher your tears. He knows all these things, but He's also touched by your tears. You know, they call them the tears of joy and tears of sorrow. God, you don't have to explain it to God. God sees them. Amen. You know why? He knows the heart which is ushering forth from. It can be tears of a sinner on an altar. Somebody don't have to get up there and say, look, Lord, I think these are repentance tears. No, no, God sees the tears and He says, look, I hear the heart. It can be pain. It can be tragedy. It can be suffering. It can be loss. Whatever it is, God sees our tears. He knows that, my friend. He notices our tears. He's touched by our tears. But also, I know I've preached this here before, the idea, but God remembers our tears. And Psalms 56 and 8 says, thou tellest my wanderings, put down my tears into a bottle. And are they not in that book? You would understand. I've talked about it here before. How during those times that they had tears that they would cry in a bottle. And every time somebody would die, whoever had the more bottles of tears, I know it sounds weird. Guess what? You ain't going to leave no tears in bottles for me, amen. But during those times, they were rich people. They had professional people that would cry into bottles. And there, whoever had the most bottles of tears in the grave was the most loved. Right during the Civil War, husbands would come home and wives would actually save tears in bottles, showing, that's weird to me, and it's weird to you too, but it happened. It was showing how much they missed him. Amen. But notice as David says, Lord, thou tellest my wanderings, my goings. What he's saying? He says, put thou my tears into that bottle. He said, Lord, remember my tears, is what he said. So God notices our tears. He's touched by our tears. But isn't it good to know that God remembers our tears? Amen. And look, you may be gone one day. You may be in eternity. But God remembered a tear that you cried on the altar for a lost loved one. Or God seen something that you did. Or something that you went through and honors the tears of somebody that's gone on to be with the Lord. I believe those tears that my grandparents have prayed, I believe God still honors prayers of those that are gone. What He said to Cornelius, He says, your prayers have come up as a memorial unto me. Amen. A time, something, a memory, a memorial unto me. He says, look, you may have prayed it 6 months ago, 2 weeks ago, or yesterday, but it come up to me as a memorial in memory and remembrance unto God. Amen. So notice this. I can leave you with that. It's good and comforting to know that God notices our tears. He's touched by our tears. He remembers our tears. But I would be all pointless if I could not preach this last point to you. Not only does God do all of that, but God acts to remove our tears. How weird or strange would the story of Lazarus have been if it said Jesus wept, and then, verse 36, it would say, and Jesus wept, he got out his handkerchief, he wiped his eyes, he blew his nose, he patted Mary on the back, and he left. Amen. I don't know if John would have put that in there. What if that Lord said that he wept and that's it? What if the Lord said was he seen they wept and then he wept and then he got up and left? That's not much of something great there. But this is what we understand. That's why if it was said that, we would have been a little disappointed. That would not have been much of a story. But this is not what happened. Instead, we read that Jesus first wept, but then he acted to raise Lazarus and restore him to his sisters. He wept, but he moved. Excuse me. He moved. He went to remove the tears and bring the joy to the sisters. If they had just wept, my friend, Jesus just wept, that would have been one thing. But no, sir. He acted to remove their tears. And that's what God does for us. He doesn't just notice that you weep, but He acts to remove your tears. Oh, yes. Sometimes we act like God don't hear us or see us. Act like sometimes God don't have the ability. I wonder how much we've asked God to remove our tears before. We say, look, Lord, you see me. Lord, help me all this. But I want God not only to see me in my trial, but I know He has the ability to touch me in my trial. So we notice this. There's many times in the Bible where this takes place. The widow of Nain, when we look there about the widow of Nain, she's walking outside of the city. What kind of story would it have been if the procession there was walking to leave the widow of Nain's leaving the city, and all of a sudden she meets Jesus, and Jesus looks at her, bumps shoulders with her, and keeps walking. What a Savior. No. But Jesus noticed that, and He looks at her, look at her tears running down her face as she's unable to do anything about her son's death. Look at the memories of the day that she carried him, the day of her pregnancy, the kicks in her stomach, the joy that she had, the 9 months that she did all this, running and carried him. Notice the dilemma of the widow mother, her tears running down her face. What if Jesus just looked at her and said, sorry for your loss? That's not what Jesus did. Bible says He stopped. It says He touched that casket. She arose from the grave. Notice this, Jesus, the man of sorrows, could easily identify with this widow's heartache. That's what the Bible says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So notice this today, my friend. John 11, He reached in the death there and does something to remove it. But also right here, the Bible says that He had compassion. The Lord saw the widow. His heart went out to her. And He said these famous words, weep not. Weep not. Have you ever been to a funeral? Many of you, I know many of you have been to funerals. We go to them, and I'll go to one tomorrow for my cousin that died. And there you'll see tears running down their faces. You notice that there's pain and there's hurt. And all I can look at them and say, look, I see your tears. I'm touched by your tears. Jesus could do that, and we can do that. But I can look at them and also say, I can do nothing to remove your tears. Everybody in this room today, you can do nothing to remove the tears. Look, you may be able to encourage. You may be able to give somebody some money in financial hardship, but that's not going to remove the tears. Because in order to remove the tears, you've got to remove the hurt that is in the heart. You cannot just wipe the eyes without doing away with the dilemma of the heart. Here Jesus, not only does He notice their tears and touch by them, but He's able to sit there and He's able to completely remove that which is taken and hurting them so much. Notice that. That's why the Bible lets us know all throughout the Bible. It says in Psalms 116 and 8, for you have delivered, it says, for you have delivered my eyes from tears. It says in Psalms 126 and 5, those who sow in tears will weep in songs of joy. And lest is known in Isaiah 25 and 8, it says this, He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Nobody else can do that but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We should note that last verse there in Isaiah is picked up twice in the book of Revelations. And I'm going to read it to you just because it preaches better when you read it. Amen. It says this. It says, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. The Lamb which is in the midst of its own shall feed them. He shall lead them into living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I like what one preacher said. He said, it's like God taking a personal handkerchief and wiping the tears from your eyes. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? It lets us know again. Revelation 21, it says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God. First verse says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away, my friend. That's going to be a wonderful day. And look, God can see our tears. He can remove them now. But one day, my friend, there'll be no more tears in heaven. There'll be no more pain and sorrow. Not only will He remove the tears from your eyes, but He'll be able to remove the very things that would cause you to weep. There'll be no reason to cry out there. I often wonder, I wonder if our new bodies will even have tear ducts. Ain't no Bible for it or against it. Preach it the way you want. Amen. I wonder if my body would even have tear ducts, amen. But I noticed this. No more tears. He'll wipe every tear from my eyes. I've shared this story with you before. And I just want to share it with you one time, and we'll pray in just a moment. But, and I know my wife's heard it probably 100 times, and I can't remember where I tell it, where I don't tell it. Amen. Story about a little paralyzed boy. Name is Zacharias, tells the story that there, she walked into an orphanage, and there it is, this little boy's laying on a piece of plywood. She says she walks up to him, and she said they had soiled their linens there in that orphanage, on their clothes, their shirt, and their pants, all that. They didn't have the medical equipment. Walked back to a piece of plywood. He's laying back there, this little boy, about 9 years old. She walks back there. He's completely paralyzed. He can't move his arms, feet, can't turn his head or nothing. She said he can just move his eyes and kind of flinch his face. She reached over there. She said she just looked at this little boy with matted hair. She began to rub his head so gently. She said about that time his eyes kind of looked over towards him. And she said there she met eyes with this little 9-year-old boy who did not understand why all the other kids could run around and play and laugh and talk. Here he is. He's just, they have a piece of plywood that he's laying on. She said, she's rubbing his head. She said there was a connection made. And instantly she looked and tears began to run down his face. She said, it's amazing to know, amen, that you can't move your arms or legs, but his tear ducts still work. There, tears were running down this little boy's face. She said, she kept rubbing his head. She kept staring each other in the eyes. And she said, all of a sudden, she said, it was about time for to go when she quit rubbing his head. He instantly looked over her and she said, he didn't say anything. She said, it's like I could read his eyes. He was saying, please don't leave me. I've said it and preached it so many times. She had to leave that orphanage. I said, but if I could just simply talk to that little boy, I'd like to tell him a few things. I would say, son, God notices your tears. You may lay in this little orphanage and you may cry yourself to sleep every night and nobody can do anything to remove the tears. And I know you don't understand, but God notices your tears, and son, also, God is touched by your tears. He sees them, but He feels them. He knows the injustice. He knows the suffering that you're going through. He remembers your tears. Yes, but God also, my son, I want you to understand, one day, son, God is going to take His hands. He's going to wipe the tears from your eyes, and the legs that you have that don't work, that can run down the streets of gold, and the hands that you have that you can't touch nothing, you'll be able to stick your hands in the crystal sea. You may be able to do something. One day, look, God sees your tears, but one day God's going to look at that feeble body. He will embrace you. He'll wipe the tears from your eyes. My friend, that's what God wants him to understand. That He sees His tears. He notices them. He's touched by it. But one day God's going to remove every tear from every eye for those that serve Him and for those that are innocent. Amen? So I don't know tonight why God's laid this on my heart. I don't know. But maybe you're here tonight and you shed some tears recently. And maybe you've cried, and maybe there's things you're going through mentally. You can label it what you want. You can say, look, it's not depression. That's fine. It may not be depression. Maybe it's something that you just feel. You can understand it's hurt, it's sorrow, it's pain, it's discouragement, whatever it is. It could be a bad day, long day, hurting you, whatever it is. But God sees your tears. Because I'm encouraged tonight to know that God sees mine. I draw comfort in that. Amen. Can you stand to your feet all over this building? I like what Paul said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, not only, he says, son, I'm mindful of your tears. Amen. You know, it helps to have each other and being mindful of one another. There's times that you'll call somebody that you don't understand what you're going through. And it's good to have those like a Paul that say, Timothy, I'm mindful of your tears. But greater encouragement than all of this, I want to let you know tonight that God is mindful of your tears. He's going to remove them. One day it could be now or in the future. God's going to completely wipe away every tear from every eye. Amen. As my wife goes to the piano tonight, praise the Lord. My heart tonight as we come to this altar call is simple. Simply this tonight. You know, I want you just to be honest with yourself. You know, sometimes it's a Sunday. We're down in numbers a little bit. You know, sometimes we let it affect the service in certain ways. I wish numbers never affected a preacher. There's been times I preached to 10. It felt like I was preaching to 500. It's time I was preaching to 200 or 300. It felt like I was preaching to 10. It's not about numbers. It's about His presence. And what God wants to do tonight is wipe away The tears, spiritual. Some of you know the heart that goes with them tears. But I want to let you know that God notices them. God is touched by them. God remembers them. And God will act to remove them now, or if it's later, God will act to move them. Amen? And what I want to do in this altar call is simple. Just be honest with yourself. It's amazing that, you know, during the holidays, there's a heightened sensitivity to loss. There's a heightened sensitivity to trials and problems. My grandmother just here recently, my grandfather has Alzheimer's. And severe Alzheimer's, he doesn't recognize much. I mean, it's rare if he ever recognizes you. When he does recognize you, it's just temporal. I mean, it's been that way for many years, though. But my grandma, I've noticed this here recently. As I go over there, I've been over there by myself and just talked to her. I notice it doesn't take long for a tear to come to her eye. Doesn't take long. Tear run down her face. Friends are dying. She's getting older. She'll say things and she says, I don't think there's no more use for me anymore. She said, I don't know if I'm going to live another Christmas. She may live another 10. We don't know. It's easy for some people to look at that and say, well, you know, things could be worse. Tighten up. I know sometimes we need to be encouraged to tighten up and all that. But God doesn't just look at her and say, look, get over it. God looks at her and says, those tears that you're crying, they're real to me. They speak to me. I've seen little kids before crying in Africa, walking the streets one day. I often haunted by the memory of a mother sitting on the sidewalk, if you would call it that. And there she's begging for money and she's holding a naked baby. And the baby's screaming in hunger. I look at them tears. I said, my Lord, for God sees from that infant crying in Africa to an elder lady sitting in her home in North Carolina. No matter what it is, what tier it is, God sees every one of them and He cares. Amen? What I want to do tonight, simply ask you to pray. If you've got a heavy heart, if you know somebody's got a heavy heart, just come to these altars. Give God your tears. Notice that God cares for us. Empty them pews. Tonight, just let God help you. Let God move. He can do mighty things. We've got tiny tears, but oh, we serve a big God. Hallelujah. We've got tiny tears, but oh, we serve a mighty big God.